Page 136. We stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be introit. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea.
Jesus Christ,
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort them in all temptations. Defend them against all enemies of your word. And bestow on Christ Church Militant your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for Reformation Day is from the third chapter of 1 Samuel. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Gracious the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. In his holy mountain, walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death.
The epistle is from the 14th chapter of Revelation. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is the gospel of the Lord. The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again,
according to the Scriptures,
and ascended into heaven,
and sits at the right hand of the Father,
and he will come again with glory
to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end.
And I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets.
And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church.
I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins,
and I look for the resurrection of the dead,
and the life of the world
to come.
Sermon text. It's Romans chapter 3, verses 20 through 28. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Where is boasting, then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The principles of marketing teach a segmentation of the population so that you can appeal to just your target audience. So, not all ice cream is the same. Some ice cream appeals to those who want natural ingredients. Others to those who want gobs of decadent chocolate mixed in. While others want low-calorie alternatives. Some want it cheap. Others, just third world, plain vanilla, that's all. Reformation Day is thought to celebrate the Lutheran version of Christian ice cream. Aren't you Lutherans just low-calorie versions of the Roman Catholics? You have a liturgical service. You have 2 of the 7 sacraments. You have a trained clergy, but not quite as holy. They get to marry. And you share in the professing the creed. So, is that what you are? Not exactly. Well, aren't you Lutherans like the Protestants? You teach the Bible to the layman. You encourage people to read the Bible and to lead a pious life. And you have married pastors. Aren't you just Baptists with vestments? Not exactly. The blessings of the Reformation, which the Lutheran Church embraces today, is not an appeal to those who want to be a little like the Roman Catholics and a little like the Baptists. It's not, the Methodists have their prayer groups. The Baptists are about Jesus, family, and country. The Pentecostals are into the charismatic gifts of the Holy Spirit. So what about the Lutherans? Well, Lutherans don't just emphasize one biblical facet while other denominations emphasize their biblical emphasis or aspect. The blessings of the Reformation cannot be explained by liturgical ceremonies. It does not free pastors to marry and laymen to read the Bible. The Reformation is something unique. In the Reformation, the Holy Scriptures were restored to their place as the sole norm and rule for Christian doctrine, and the central teaching of justification through faith in Jesus Christ returned to the throne, that it might be the touchstone and it would judge all other teachings. And finally, through the proper distinction of law and gospel, the free grace of God and not human works defined our relationship with God. The sacramental means of grace led believers to lead holy lives in order to give thanks for the merciful grace of God. There were many kinds of churchly reformations throughout history attempted. Some of them were successful so that the church removed the heresy of Arianism. Others of them, not so successful. For example, the reformer John Huss was killed by those in power. Well, I've heard some say that Luther's reform was directed against the corruption in the Roman Church. Well, if that is all that the Reformation did, rein in the politics of a church hierarchy, the selling of forgiveness, the immorality of the priesthood, well, then the Reformation was simply a minor decoration change in the church. Others have said that the Reformation freed individuals from being told what to believe by the church authorities. Others, again, a kind of decentralization would then leave everyone to decide what's right in their own eyes, and that would then fracture the unity of the church. No, no. The reformation of the church is about the restoration of the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Trust in works contradicts the biblical teaching that we are justified, declared righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." The Mass, celebration of Lord's Supper, it's not a sacrifice offered up to God by which the church earns forgiveness for the living and the dead. The Lord's Supper is the means of grace by which living believers receive Jesus' forgiveness. We don't pray to the saints because they're not intercessors or mediators. None of them died for our sins. Jesus Christ is our intercessor before the heavenly throne. We don't reject the Pope and the magisterium because the church ought to have no leaders and we all decide from ourselves. No, we reject the Pope because he teaches anti-Christian doctrines when he condemns justification by grace through faith. We also don't urge a decision for Jesus or tell people they need to make Jesus their Lord or accept him into their heart because man can't do that. We don't want people trusting in their own act of the will. We preach God's free promise of the forgiveness of sins, which then creates faith in their hearts. Romans 3:21, "But now the righteousness of God apart from law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." We don't teach a limited atonement or double predestination like the Calvinists. For Romans 3:23 to 25 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith." The gospel promise is that Jesus died for the sins of the world. God desires all men to be saved. The Father proclaimed the saving blood of his Son, that it had removed all wrath from sin, and God promises, as we hear in Romans 3:26, to be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. He wants all to believe, and when they believe, he promises justification, righteousness through faith. To return to our analogy of the ice cream, the Reformation was not a new flavor of ice cream, which the Lutherans prefer better than the old Roman stuff. Or if the Reformation was simply about preferential change, then we could hardly fault the Protestants for changing even further, more than Luther, and going and denying the power and the efficacy of the sacraments, and finally saying, yeah, everybody's a minister, we don't need a pastoral office either. But no, the Reformation is not simply preference or changing some things as far as you want to go. The Reformation is about restoring that which had been taken away. The Reformation restored the gospel, the free forgiveness of sins by grace through faith. Okay, it just doesn't seem right to say the Reformation is about restoring ice cream altogether. But the gospel is what the Reformed Church, is what the Roman Church removed. The Reformed Protestant Church kept on reforming until they turned the gospel into something else. Not ice cream, maybe a shake, a smoothie, I don't know. You see, the gospel, though, is not a dessert which you can take or leave. The gospel is the main meal. It is the food of eternal life. Without the gospel, there is no forgiveness, no salvation, no eternal life. There's no justification through faith. That is what's so important about the gospel. Revelation 14, verse 6 through 7 says this, "Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, every nation, tribe, tongue, and people." Yes, the gospel is an everlasting proclamation. The Lord first proclaimed it to Adam and Eve soon after they fell into sin. He has been continuing to proclaim it through the prophets in the Old Testament. He sends out the apostles in the New to proclaim it. He employs pastors today to preach it. But then at some point, the Pope reared his ugly head, covered over the gospel with works, righteousness, and saint invocation. He proclaimed teachings that were against Christ and his salvific work. He turned pastors from gift givers into priests who earn forgiveness by their sacrifices of the Mass and things of this sort. The Reformation restored the everlasting gospel. The gospel to Christ's church. It restored the only way, the only message by which a man can be saved. Without faith in Christ's work, there is no justification of the sinner. Now, when you begin to speak about the gospel in those terms, you can start to understand why the inheritors of the Reformation are so adamant about these blessings of the Reformation. Maybe you have been asked something like this. Well, if you weren't a Lutheran, well, what would you be? Now, the question implies that, well, Lutheran teachings must be close to something else. But a true Lutheran would be unable to answer that question with any sincerity. Although there are outward similarities, and maybe that's what people see, every other choice leaves me with something which is not the gospel, pure and undefiled. We must leave ice cream behind completely. I mean, it would be like asking something like this. If you couldn't eat food, what would you eat? If you couldn't eat food, what would you? What do you mean? I mean, how do you even answer a question like that? Only real food sustains life. So no, I can't. Lutherans are often accused of being proud and haughty because we profess to hold to the truth. We refuse to give up the proper distinction of law and gospel, lest we lose the gospel. We refuse to allow falsehood, lest it conceal the gospel. We refuse to permit another gospel to be brought into Christ's church. It is the Reformation attitude which St. Matthew describes in chapter 11 when he speaks of believers who are violent and the kingdom of the church suffering violence. We so hold to the gospel that we appear to be adamant, violent. Believers who have received the blessings of the Reformation have done violence to the outward church on earth. The Roman church has been split wide open and it will never return to Rome's tent when the political leaders and the Pope's armies sought to force a reunion. The Lutherans would not give up the gospel. They had taken hold of justification with a great spiritual force, and having come to this confidence of knowing their salvation, they would not return to falsehood at all. The Word had even taught them to flee from falsehood. Any teaching that sidestepped the truth about Jesus was to be labeled anti-Christian. There is a story of a congregation which had come to profess the truth in early Lutheranism. A Roman priest was forced upon them by the government. When the priest began to speak of falsehood from the pulpit, the congregation spontaneously began to sing Luther hymns until the preacher went away. That is the violence that we're talking about. Luther himself is remembered for his stand at the Diet of Worms. He said, "Here I stand. I prefer the gospel, which the scripture proclaims, but I would return if you reform a few things." I want to be open-minded about this. I mean, I surely wouldn't leave the Pope or the Reformed Church, but just because you got the gospel wrong. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what he said. You know as well as I do that Dr. Martin Luther was as vocal as John the Baptist, that he made his stand just as Elijah made his stand. Elijah said, "Choose this day whom you will serve." So when you taste the everlasting gospel, you know that you are justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no turning back. There is no unhearing the gospel. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let me conclude with what Luther really said as he stood before the Diet of Worms. He said this: "Unless I am convicted by scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils because they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything. For to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I can do no other. So help me God. Amen." Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Create in me, page 140. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O eternal and most merciful God, we bless and praise you for all your benefits and especially for those mercies of the Reformation which we commemorate this day. Praise be to you that you did send forth your only begotten Son into the world to be the propitiation for our sins and did institute the ministry of the Word to make known your saving health among all nations. Praise be to you especially this day that when the gross darkness of Roman popery covered the earth, you did kindle afresh the light of your holy word. Through your chosen vessel, Martin Luther, you did teach our fathers once more the everlasting gospel of salvation. Praise be to you that you have this day preserved the goodly heritage, saved us from persecution, confusing creeds, contemporary liturgies, defended churches and schools from the assaults of Satan, given strength and success to your word, and at all times provided faithful shepherds to feed your flock in the pleasant pastures of your word. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
We acknowledge and confess in sincere repentance that by our own manifold sins, ingratitude, indifference, and unbelief, we have indeed deserved that you would justly hide your face from us and visit us with a famine of your word. But we beseech you, O Lord, deal with us not after our sins, but according to your infinite compassion. As you have promised, let not the gates of hell prevail against your church. Preserve us from human traditions and the doctrines of men, from strong delusions that subvert the foundation of truth and mislead men upon false ways. Lord, in your mercy, grant unto us peace and good government. Kindle in our president, our governor, a love of that which is true and noble, that justice may be done, peace promoted, and mercy shown to all in need. Grant to your church throughout the world that without restraint or hindrance we may continually enjoy the blessings of your pure word. Give zeal to all pastors in Christ, especially to those in the Evangelical Lutheran Diocese of North America and our Bishop James, that they would boldly preach the gospel and lead those entrusted to their care to do the same. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Preserve unto us and to our children the pure and saving gospel, the right use of the holy sacraments till the end of days. Send us to this end at all times, blameless teachers, able ministers of the New Testament, faithful stewards of your mysteries, and give them wisdom and boldness to proclaim your salvation to many unto life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We ask your blessing upon our shut-ins, Carolyn, our elderly Violet, of those of various needs for Kevin and Victor and Marcia, Gib Howard and Stan, Jack, Levi, Jennifer, Laura, Brad, also Joyce and Grover. Lord, in your mercy, let us not misuse the gospel unto a false peace, even into a dead faith. But being kept by the light of truth, let us walk as children of light. Let us be a city that is set on a hill to shine afar unto the day of Christ's coming. Give us an increase of faith and of numbers. Restore all that are deceived by error and give free course and strength to your word, that it may be known among the nations of the earth. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Lord, in your mercy, gird us with your power, that we may fight a good fight and keep the faith, until we obtain the crown of righteousness laid up for us in heaven, for your Son's sake, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is
truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
Heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into the flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. O Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
Lord our God, in the name of whose only begotten Son we have been called to be Christians and have been blessed with baptism for the remission of sins, make us, we pray, ready to receive the most holy body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins and to give thanks with grateful hearts to you, O Father, to your Son, and to the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was given for me, preserve my body and soul into everlasting life.
Thy soul has long for your salvation, and I have a good hope in your word. When will you be of that? Persecute me falsely. Oh, be my help. salvation according to your word. The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous words. Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. My soul has love for your salvation, and I have a good hope in your word. When will
thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who through the preaching of your servants, the blessed reformers, has caused the light of the gospel to shine forth, grant, we beseech you, that knowing its saving power, we may faithfully guard and defend it against all enemies and joyfully proclaim it to the salvation of souls and the glory of your holy name. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.